most of us grew up learning and using the traditional pronouns he and she. But not everyone feels that these gender-based pronouns fit who they are, their true gender identity. There's a new movement out there trying to give people more options, more flexibility.
Joining us here in the studio is Ryan Otsarius, a research associate in Wisconsin's Equity and Inclusion Laboratory. Thanks for joining us today, Ryan.
Thank you. This is really exciting to be here.
So, Ryan, besides these traditional gender-based pronouns, the ones a lot of us grew up with, he and she, which other pronouns are starting to crest, to get used?
Well, I think there's two big categories. One of them is to use plural pronouns, so they and them, or theirs. Or there's also a category that uses the pronouns Z and here. Z is typically used, it's one of the more difficult ones for people to use, because it is very different from the ones that we typically encounter. But I think a lot of folks who I've encountered tend to feel more comfortable using the pronouns they, their, and them, because it's a little more natural seeming, even though it is plural.
Well, this is our weekly Teach Me What You Know segment, and I guess teach us how we approach using these different pronouns. How do we make that contact with someone to know what they prefer?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So sometimes it can be a little ambiguous, and you might think, this person might not use the typical pronouns that we all grew up using. But it's usually not a great idea to say, I think there's something a little bit different here. Do you use X, Y, or Z pronouns? Typically, the way to go about discovering that about someone else is to put it on yourself. So if I were introducing myself to someone new, or if I was in a meeting or a classroom or some context like that, I would say, hi, everyone. My name is Ryan, and I use the pronouns he and him. And then try to model that for everyone else and get other people to do the same thing. And that makes it a little more neutral and everybody sharing instead of just singling one person out and asking them to indicate a difference.
You know, it's interesting because we are locked into certain conceptions about what gender is based on language, which is, you know, hundreds, thousands of years old. How do we go about, you know, changing the language, and can you make the case for why it's needed?
Well, I guess the case for why it's needed is that it kind of goes down to the point that gender, just like a lot of other social categories, are a social construct. There's nothing necessarily natural about it. Biology, of course, is something that there's chromosomal and DNA issues inherent with that, but the kinds of words and values that we associate with differences in biology are still social constructs. So allowing people to kind of identify themselves and giving rise to a language for them to do that is really part of the larger movement to allowing people to be more self-expressive, rather than just commanding these are the way things are, and you need to fit into one end of the binary or the other.
So these new alternative gender pronouns, they're fairly new to me, smack dab in the middle of a big university town. How widespread are these in the culture at large?
You know, I think that's a really interesting question. Trans issues, I guess, if you look at the broad history of the lesbian and gay rights movement, it really started out with lesbians and gay men, and more recently, issues around transgender issues have come to the fore. And so it's one of those identity categorizations that is, it's emergent. There's not necessarily a large contingent of folks who have historically been out about their gender identity or their expression, but that's definitely changing. And I think if you see, there's a lot of documentaries in particular that have come up over the past decade or so, I'd say, which is really addressing issues of transgender folks in all different areas of the country, be it rural areas, big cities, suburbia. So I think it's something that we'll probably start seeing a lot more of as time goes on.
And can you walk us through? You walked us some examples in the beginning, but in terms of ones that may not come as naturally to people speaking Z or here, could you just, I don't know, just let us hear how it sounds in the language if we're talking in conversation, some examples.
Sure. So going with the Z in here example, I would say something like, oh, the other night I was at Ben's house and Z said that here mom was going after them for having a messy room, for example. The other one that can be a little more complex for people to use just off the bat. The other one, like I said, that's a little more natural is using the plural pronouns. So using the same example, I would say, I was over at Ben's house the other night and they said that their mom was going after them for having a messy room.
It's tricky in both ways because they and there, a lot of people resist that just because it's not quite grammatically right if you're talking about one person. But then people might not necessarily embrace new words as a central part of their speech, the Z in here. How do you sell taking on this new thing one way or the other?
I guess I don't even think that selling it is the thing that necessarily needs to happen. I think using it. Mm-hmm. I think the more we use these kinds of pronouns or any new language, the more natural it becomes. And one of the challenges is, you know, with the emergent community that is out about their gender identity and their expression, it's going to take a while to kind of create a critical mass, for lack of a better word, to really see these pronouns being used more frequently.
One that I've heard recently that's not on the sheets that you gave us already is cisgender. What does that mean?
So cisgender is it's a construct of a way of conceiving of people whose gender identity and their expression and is aligned with their biological sex. So if somebody is biologically male, in our culture, we've assigned certain identities, personality types, ways of dressing, acting, thinking to men. And so we would say that a person would who takes on those qualities and takes on those identities is cisgender. So their gender matches their biological sex that's given at birth. So I, for example, would identify as cisgender.
And where does the cis part come from?
Cis is a Latin word that means the same as.
Oh, okay.
And the concept there is if we have a specific word, say, for transgender and everything else, but not one for someone in that role, there's an assumption that it doesn't have a name because it's the norm. It's normal.
Exactly. Yep. And I think cisgender that's another one of those things with this emergent idea of transgender rights and transgender community resistance that is taking time for that to come up and become, again, for lack of a better word, normalized for people to identify with. But I mean, even in the 10 years that I've been involved with social justice and that kind of work, I've seen that word definitely come to the fore and be more of an identity category that people kind of take on and identify themselves as.
Have you seen these words starting to take off in literature and also maybe just in papers on college campuses? Or is it accepted?
Boy, that is a great question. I guess... you know, I haven't seen it in quote unquote mainstream publications. It's definitely something that's used a lot on blogs and on the internet, so more alternative media. And yeah, I have a degree in gender and women's studies, and I can't say that I ever read a paper that used those terms without being about that
the
kind
issue.
Of being about the issue. Yeah.
Huh.
Now, suppose someone out there is on board. They've adopted the different pronouns. How about the awkward situation where they hear they want to correct someone who's doing something different? Do you have advice on how to politely try to promote these?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really great question and really key. So I think the the best way of going about that is for other folks who aren't necessarily trans-identified to help one another out. So if I knew that, you know, my friend used a different pronoun set and somebody was still referring to them using a different gender identity pronoun category, maybe not necessarily right there at that moment is the best time to say, hey, my friend uses these other terms, but rather afterwards or in another more neutral context to say, you know, I heard you using she when referring to that person, and I think that they use these other pronouns. Or, for example, if I were to accidentally use one of the incorrect pronoun, the best thing to do is not to make a big scene of it or put it, make you the center of attention, but to say, oh boy, I'm sorry. I know you use these different pronouns and I'll try to do better next time.
Well, Ryan, thank you so much for coming on and sharing this with us today.
Well, thank you.
We've been talking to Ryan Otsarius, Research Associate in Wisconsin's Equity and Inclusion Laboratory, talking about new gender pronouns that are more inclusive and give people more options in how they identify.
This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.